right, it's Thursday, 1 o'clock. We are coming to you live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You've tuned in to the Farm Report on the Heritage Radio Network. I want to thank our sponsors today, White Oak Pastures. White Oak Pastures cattle are raised in a manner that has stood the test of time. It begins with southern sunshine, unpolluted country air, and fertile coastal soil. The cattle are allowed to roam the pastures and graze freely on sweet native grasses all of their lives. White Oak Pastures all-natural grass-fed beef has been available in all of the Whole Foods stores in the Mid-Atlantic states. We hope that you will support their program through your purchase of our beef through one of these Whole Foods stores. For more information, check out www.whiteoakpastures.com.
Well, Erin, nice to have you back with us. We missed you here last week.
I know. It's good to be back. I'm sad I missed the American Farmland Trust folks, Jen and David. Good show.
No Foods, No Farms rally coming up in March. We'll be sure to bring them back a little bit before that so you can all hear about how you can get involved and go up to Albany and take a stance for your food. So today we have a great show coming up. We have guest of the Farm Report for the second time, Derek Denkla, live with us in studio, wearing an awesome, colorful sweater, if you will.
Lovely, lovely. Welcome, Derek.
Thanks a lot for having me here.
Derek Denkla has been on the show before with us to kind of talk about this recently new project that has come aboard and come and hit the Brooklyn scene, and it's called Farm City. And I'd kind of like to have Derek maybe just recap what Farm City is for us and then get into the reason why we brought him on the show, which is the new series of Farm City events, which I'll let him say for us.
Cool, I'll do it. Farm City is a new project that I launched about a year ago, actually, to explore different ways to make social, cultural, and financial investments in the growth of urban agriculture. So we launched a diverse set of projects to kind of promote and the growth of this new sector.
Wonderful. So what is happening these days with Farm City? We have this new project, Chautauqua,
yeah,
if you will.
It's a real tongue twister in terms of pronouncing, and trying to spell it has provided some challenges for me and my peers. But I think it's Chautauqua.
Okay.
Although I really think we should have a contest and people should just pronounce it the way they like.
I'll give it my Long Island Chautauqua.
Chautauqua. Yeah, I know whenever you come to one of those stops in Long Island, I'm like, is that what's on the ticket? So Chautauqua came out of a conversation I had with Severine Von Charmer Fleming, who's
awesome.
Been a guest on the show, right?
Yeah, and she also has her own show, Greenhorns Radio.
Right, exactly. And she and I were talking about doing an art happening in the city, which ultimately got named something else.
Mm-hmm.
But we were batting around this idea about the Chautauqua or the Chautauqua or whatever it is. And it got me really intrigued about this concept, and I started to research it based on her urging. And then created a series around it. And Chautauqua were these gatherings that around sort of spiritual, political, social, and cultural gatherings in rural areas to kind of elevate people in a popular education gathering, and provided a way for people to connect around uplifting ideas and creating community. So I was thinking, how could we do that in the city around food and promoting kind of understanding of the connection between their food and farming? And so I thought about, reached out to some artists that I've worked with in the past and some new ones to create a kind of variety of different events that created a kind of Chautauqua vibe in the city.
Right. I know last time we had you on for Farm Cities, you had like a week long of different events all throughout the city, ending with a festival in Brooklyn on the street. And, you know, it seems like we're kind of doing this again, but it's more spread out. We have events from February through till July. Is that right?
That's right.
And they're all kind of series within themselves. So can you maybe tell us about the different series that are going on one by one, and then we could get into some more details?
Sure, I'll roll through them. I mean, this is all made possible, by the way, also due to a creative collaboration that I struck up with the owners of 61 Local, Dave Liotti and Steve Witch. They have put together this really awesome establishment, which is opening on Friday, by the way. I have to do
a
shout out. Their opening party is Saturday
the
12th. Okay. I'm getting my dates and my days confused.
That's what happens when you're a busy person.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's Saturday the 12th is their opening, and it's 61 Bergen Street in Brooklyn, New York. And the thrust of their place is really interesting. They're really trying to use the public house as a way to promote the growth of local makers. So it's really aligned to my mission. Hmm. And so, like, you know, for instance, a small batch brewer has a place to demonstrate his chops, you know, in a way that he can't in the standard establishment. And 61 Local is really dedicated to that.
Like an interactive eating, drinking experience is
exactly
what they're trying to promote?
Yeah, wow. And they're trying, and mostly, and it's all local, so that, I mean, the name sort of says it all. Mm-hmm. And so Dave approached me and thought we could do something, you know, together, and I came up with this platform to express what he was, you know, trying to do and what I was doing, I'm trying to do simultaneously. So we have every event there, to using that as the gathering place.
Nice.
And so that's, you know, gives everyone a one constant in a very flowing series of events. So the Chautauqua, we really tried to hit like a lot of different points. We tried to, you know, do events around cooking, around discussion. And so one of the main things we have is a group called Communal Table, which is run by artists Amy Gilbert and Dina Lobau, who started out as artists catering events to support their artwork, and then their artwork became the art, which is sort of an interesting transition. And so they have these kind of salon dinners, which sort of fit the theme of Chautauqua, which is trying to like inject this, you know, thoughtful discussion into a food interaction. And each one of their events sparks a dialogue around different issues. So like the first event we have coming up is for families. This one's called Stone Soup on the 27th, and it's great for anybody who has kids in public school. You'll be coming off of the high of winter break, and you'll need something to break your to break your fall, actually, so you can come to that event from 4 to 6. And what you do, that's sort of demonstrative of what we do, that you come in with an ingredient, we want people to interact, you come in with a recipe or a story. And the folks will then be directed into a community cooking activity, then some storytelling, and then creating a cookbook of all the different recipes. So you got your craft and your creation and your community building all in one.
All in 2.5 hours, too.
Yeah, exactly. And it's led by, you know, a really talented group of chefs and artists. And so that's like a flavor of what the events are about. It's kind of demonstrating how you can create community through these different ways of interacting around food, and trying to elevate that practice of, so it's more than just a dinner party, that it, you know, you become mindful about that, how that connection is made, how to enrich it, where the food comes from,
right,
which is a really important part of the dialogue.
And I think especially having an opportunity to do events with kids, I think is so key, especially in Brooklyn. There's so many young parents out there looking to connect with other young parents who are interested in a lot of these issues and exposing their kids to some of that food. I mean, I definitely remember making stone soup in grade school and bringing the potato and like the way it smelt in the classroom and kind of hanging out with your friends. And then I think most exciting, getting to like eat something you made. That's a great start off event.
Yeah, it's really fun for us. So I'm really excited about that one. I agree. I think getting kids involved is really important. And a lot of the other events are geared more towards adults, but this one's our kickoff on that. So that's Communal Table, and they have actually 6 different what we call at-table events, where they sort of change up what's going on. They have an awesome one called Covered Dish, which is all about the tradition of bringing food to people in the kind of covered format, and kind of thinking about what those traditions mean and the creation of neighborliness. Again, you know, that and do they have to be made with cream soup? This is a metaphysical question that they ask. And then it flows through the series, and they've got really great things coming up after that. Sing for Your Supper in the spring, which involves literally that. So
that's fun.
Yeah, all the events have like...
Sounds a little scary, actually.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't have to sing. It's not like karaoke. But pairing different artist songs with the foods, and thinking about the way that song and food interact with each other. So, and then another artist series that is going to be at the part of the Chautauqua is... a community cooking club, which is artist Tracy Candido's project, which is about creating mindfulness around creating food. And she in particular has her event center around what's in the green markets at the time. So each one of her sort of interactive cooking events, she directs the cooking, but has everyone there discuss each one of the ingredients and how they where they came from, how she sourced them. And then at the end of each event, she sends everyone a recipe so that it can reinforce for them, you know, that they can do this at home. So it's, again, trying to, like, create that community, impart that knowledge in a communal way, but also direct it back to the farmer's market and realize the kind of bounty and excitement that can be had there. And
definitely.
Yeah, that's a really exciting event.
I think
she
that's
does
key.
Amazing job.
Yeah, I mean, it's so often people are, like, shocked by what's actually in the market this time of year.
Yeah,
I think both by what's not, but also what is. I mean, there's more variety, I think, than you would expect, but there's definitely, you know, no tomatoes. I was walking through the market the other day and I saw a woman on her way out who was like, there were no oranges or blueberries here.
Oh, no. Shucks. Where are those strawberries at?
And you know, it's like, can't hold it against her because she's there at the market checking it out. But it's like a kind of reoccurring thing with food events in the city, especially food events that involve, I think, different communities or different partnerships. I find it funny, a lot of times you go to an event or a talk about food, and then they serve food afterwards that's
has nothing to do.
Has nothing to, you know, it's a crudité plate from Whole Foods or did you think about, I mean, when you're putting events together, I know it's often a struggle because there isn't really, you know, a kind of low-cost caterer, someone that you call when you're like, I need the market plate for XYZ. I mean, I think there's a real opportunity there from an events perspective to someone to kind of rise up and fill that niche. But when you're working with people who are going to be participating in the event, did you have any parameters around kind of what food would get served or what that would look like?
Well, we wanted it to really be about, you know, the parameters I gave them is I sort of, I don't like to hem in the artists I work with too much. And I wanted to give them this imaginative palette to work with, which is that we wanted to kind of hark back to these kind of these gatherings where people were attempting to create community uplifting around a central theme. The Chautauquas in general weren't about food, but they happened in farm communities where they were producing food. So that was always a background to these events. They would always have food as part of the events, but they would often have, you know, high-browed political speakers, you know, big names of the day would come through and they would speak. And so I thought the whole thing is about turning it around in a way, turning it upside down, doing it in the city and having the event be about food rather than be about some other political issue. Because food now, as we know, is so...
It's a political issue.
It's become so
kind of reminds me in a way of like a gastronomic cooking when they like break down like a dessert into like its parts and try it to
and
bring it up.
And reserve it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that actually segues right into process dinner, which is Chloe Bass, who's another artist in the series. She does a thing which she actually did not like only a couple blocks away from here at the Last Supper at Third Ward. She did a project called Process Dinner. I invited her to do it again, where she brings all of the ingredients for the meal she's about to create, and she asks that everybody eat each of the ingredients, no matter whether it's edible or not.
Ooh.
So it's like just to, but and then she explains, you know, the sort of the science of the thing and the history of the thing, and so it becomes this kind of deeply realized understanding of what you're about to put in your mouth. And so often we combine these things or we follow a recipe and we're not really sure what the baking soda is doing. We know we have to do not too much or it tastes like it, but we're not paying as close attention. So again, it's about creating that mindfulness and a discussion.
Really awesome. I mean, we're going to take a quick break in just a sec, but you're kind of like bringing me back to like the like most elementary days of like learning in a way. It was like, you know, that closing your eyes and touching something and feeling what it is. And really, I mean, you're really kind of like rooting down to rise up in a way. I mean, we're really kind of like exploring so many new things here, and I'm really excited to hear kind of more about it. And we'll take this short break and we'll come back and we'll do that here with Derek Denkla of Farm City on the Heritage Radio Network's Farm Report.
We'll be right back. public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Thursday at 4:30 p.m., tune in to Flash Talks Cash, hosted by Joanne Flash Fleming. Flash Talks Cash is a weekly talk show discussing personal and small business money issues. The show examines current topics from the financial tax world and the ways it impacts your wallet. The focus is to help people and small businesses find ways to make money, save money, spend money, and know what to do with your money when you get it. Again, that's every Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Well, it is tax time, so it's nice to hear about Flash Fleming, and you should tune in. I'm sure she's giving you some good tips for what to do. It's almost that time of year again. Fun, fun, fun.
I was saying I need that show.
I know. Well, we are here. We are back. We are live. It is now 1:17 on Thursday afternoon. We are here with the Farm Report and Derek Denkla of Farm City. And we were just kind of giving a quick run through of some of the events coming up now through July with his Chautauqua project. And the series of events that come along with that. So if you'd like to take a look and see more about the events that are involved with this project, you can go to farmcity.us and you will see the link right there to kind of get more information on each of the wonderful things coming up through the next couple months. Now I wanted to ask Derek, do you kind of envision this new Farm City Chautauqua as a model to be replicated in cities all across the country, creating more, you know, chapters or something, if you will?
I don't know. It's an interesting idea. I mean, it's the first time I've done this particular series, but it's the second sort of step out for Farm City in terms of programming. Right now, I want to test the waters and mm-hmm. see whether there's excitement around it. I think so far there's been, you know, some good response. But I'll see how it goes, you know, and if it seems like it's looks like a good roadshow opportunity, that would be a cool idea.
Yeah, definitely. I would hope so, for sure.
We can, like, take it on the road. Well, looking through the schedule, I mean, it seems like you're creating a kind of a community of communities. I mean, you're bringing in the Culinary Food Historians, the Brooklyn Food Coalition, 61 Local. We talked a little bit outside about maybe having a speaker series from Slow Food. There's like an interesting kind of exchange when you have different communities kind of all coming together. And I know one of the things I often find a little frustrating in the city is there's so much going on, it's almost hard to know where to look or who to guide you. And I'm like wondering what your thoughts are, like, as you were looking through kind of all the great stuff that's happening, how you kind of put together your lineup.
Gotcha. Yeah, I am your guide, by the way.
Go to Farm City.
Yeah, no, you can call me.
The filtering process for
exactly.
Us.
Well, I'm joking, but I'm not joking, but because I agree with you. I feel like there's so many amazing things happening, and every night you feel torn between many lovers.
Such a struggle.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like the way I see my role, and it's what I did for Farm City Fair, was really bring together all these diverse groups who, you know, I wanted to party with all of them, so I created a party with all of them.
Nice.
And so that's sort of what Chautauqua is about. Like, all these really diverse strands that I think are really awesome, you know, from really mundane almost, like with a book club, which is, you know, like, you know, you can do that anywhere, but we wanted to kind of create a clubhouse vibe.
Yeah.
and gather around, like, really interested and interesting people in that discussion to, like, you know, pretty highbrow discussions with the culinary historians, you know, so, which is something, you know, you might not tap into because you think, oh, that's, you know, that's too smarty pants for me. But we wanted to bring it down to the level of having it in a public house where, you know, you could feel comfortable having a beer, going to these things, and then testing out some things that may be outside of your comfort zone, like Process Dinner, which is really mm-hmm. almost a performance art piece, or Green Edge NYC, which is doing a speaker series, you know. And that's really the heart and soul of the old style Chautauqua, these kind of uplifting lectures. And
right.
So that's part of the deal, too.
Yeah, I also kind of wanted to ask where, you know, how you think, I mean, I don't know, I kind of feel like we know who our target audience is for this, but do you think we're going to expand outside of some of the people who are already kind of in this world and are familiar with this, with these ideas?
I hope so. I mean, our idea, you know, by having it in, you know, a public house, 61 Local, we're hoping that your average drinker, you know, artisanal beer, and wine will kind of think, okay, I love the taste of this, you know, because taste is the big hook to sustainability, I think, always.
Taste,
you know,
in place.
Right. That's like the Alice Waters, you know, ring. So I think if you hook people there, they sort of think, oh, this is interesting that this is happening here. It's not like your standard kind of, you know, blues singer in the corner. It's a different kind of event. It's trying to create community and connect people up. So I think we'll get some new people through that. And it already seems like a pretty popular spot, so that'll be hot for that. And then the other part is, it's like, it's also like we were saying when we were talking earlier, it's about creating sustenance for people who are already aware of these things, people who already shop at the farmer's market, or who, you know, might have all these events on their calendar. It's about giving them a place to create sustenance around that, you know, to find community, to make connections. So, and to do it in an intimate enough context, because it's the events will be relatively small. They'll probably be tapped out around 40 or so. Mm-hmm. So they'll be pretty intimate. And so it's a way to meet people and make lasting, you know, connections.
Definitely. It seems like, you know, you probably bring together a bunch of like-minded individuals. You never know what can come up. And when I asked this question, it was also kind of with the idea of, you know, the fact that there is an opportunity, I feel, to create these, like, you know, chapters all across the country with, you know, focused around series of events and things of the like. If you saw that this had any kind of similarity or resemblance to what Slow Food has going on, and if they're involved in any way with this Farm City project.
Well, Slow Food has a series of events that are really interesting throughout the year, and I've been inspired by Slow Food for many, many years. And in fact, Holly Atkinson, who's very active in Slow Food, is working with me to create an event for Chautauqua, but they just couldn't figure, you know, something out right away, because we pulled this together relatively quickly.
Getting it done.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, they are very sympathetic to, you know, what we're about. But the great thing is there's so much demand for this kind of community. Each one of these kind of nodes of connection can be doing their own thing without detracting from anyone else. So I think they're building something, you know, parallel to us, and then we'll intersect at certain points. But I just see huge demand for people wanting to connect around these kind of new ways of thinking, new ways of making food together.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I'm excited.
Yeah, so speaking of the demand, I mean, you put on a great event, series of events, the Farm City series that happened in the fall. What were some of your kind of biggest takeaways from that, like learnings, like, oh man, we would do this differently next time, or this was a huge success, we weren't expecting that? I mean, what was the response like?
Well, I thought that the response was really overwhelming for me, like, because like I said, it was like, at some level, you know, when you plan these things, you sort of think, oh, I love all these people and I love all the work they're doing. I hope everybody else will. And so you try to honor that, your drive, you know, your affection for everything that people are doing. But then we had like 5,000 people came out on like a rainy day for Farm City Fair, and were so into it. And like, it was great buzz. It was a great feeling. And, you know, it was like one of those things, like a lot of times at events, you feel like you weren't even there. You were like floating, because it was like you couldn't really connect, but I really felt like I connected with people. It was really solid, and that made me feel really good. It felt like people were making real connections with each other, and there were such great stories afterwards. You know how, like, you know, you hear these things about, like, you know, afterwards, you know, so and so met so and so. Well, that we had a lot of stories like that where people started doing business together or came up with new ideas, and so it really introduced a whole, like, really diverse people who love the same things, you know, changing the food system and making flavor, and they brought them all together. So that was the most exciting part for me.
Sounds like kind of like an immediate success. Sounds kind of like what we were trying to do. So yeah. Amazing. That's great.
Yeah, that was really, it was an instant gratification, although it took like a year to plan it.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, you get the first one going and the next one might not be as hard to put together. So hopefully this summer we'll have something else to look forward to.
Yeah. We're thinking about what the next move will be, and we're talking with a lot of people we work with to spark something up for the fall.
Cool. Well, we'll be sure to, you know, get you back on the show and hear all about how these events are going and what else is, you know, coming up next for Farm City.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, I mean, just thinking about last week's show, we had, you know, Jen and David on from American Farmland Trust. And I would say, like, from a lot of food events in the city, there does seem to be kind of this missing component of policy or government involvement, or kind of like giving people an opportunity to understand what's going on kind of at that level, whether it's locally or state or national. I mean, what role do you think can be played, and like who are the people that we should be reaching out to get some representatives of that kind of sector of the food world at the table and part of these conversations?
What's interesting you raise that. Like I kind of keep my, I try to merge a lot of my practices together between, cultural food culture, which is like makers and artists, and also policy and finance. I try to have everybody sort of look at the same issues together. And so we've created a working group over the last couple of weeks. We had our first meeting in January to try to bring together people in business, people in urban mm-hmm. farming, to try to craft some overall understanding of what a game plan would be and how to work out some solutions. So I don't know that there's any one go-to person on policy or on the business side yet. There's a lot of great organizations, each doing little things that I could call out. It would take us a while. but I think we're trying to, there's many people who are trying to create kind of thoughtful organization of what's next for the urban farming movement. Like, Five Borough Farm, which is a project of the Design Trust, is trying to come up with a community plan for how to promote that. That's one thing that people can participate in. There are private dialogues going on by, interested parties. Lauren Yarmouth from YRG Sustainability Consultants, she's holding conversations. So there's a lot of people, the borough president, he had Food Works mm-hmm. After the Food and Climate Summit, and he's really interested. And then there's Speaker Quinn got her whole
Food
platform.
NYC, yep.
Right. I mean, I think I got it backwards. She's Food Works and
he's
Food,
Food
NYC.
NYC. Yeah.
But there's a lot of push. But it hasn't centralized yet. And mm-hmm. in some ways that's good, because it means that people like us have a lot of power to influence each one of these little cells. So I think it's an exciting moment in that way.
Yeah, definitely. Things are definitely moving in a fast direction here. And it's a good thing. We have a lot to kind of work out, and it's happening.
Speaking of happening, I know, Dennis, you're involved in an event this week, TEDx. Changing the Way We Eat, kind of an outgrowth of the TED franchise. You're going to be doing a little blogging for them?
I am. I'm their guest blogger. I guess that means I get some kind of cushion to sit on.
Excellent. Excellent. So I'm pretty sure that tickets have sold out for the event, but the NYC Food EDU, the New York Student Food Coalition, is hosting a viewing party at 60 Washington Square South. That's the Kimmel Building. It's going to be 4 to 6 on Saturday in room 405. It is a free event. So if you want to come and hang out with other like-minded people who are interested in food policy, and then obviously the myriad of topics that are going to get covered at the TEDx event, please stop by. You can find us on Facebook at NYC Food EDU.
Awesome. The Kimmel Center is beautiful. You guys should all try and get out there if you can.
Yeah, there's an amazing set of speakers for that, including some Brooklyn homebodies who are coming to you, people who probably like Ian Cheney and Kurt Ellis are both involved.
Awesome. Okay, everyone. Well, we will be back here live next Thursday, 1 o'clock. So tune in to the Heritage Radio Network's Farm Report. Thanks to Jack Inslee today, producing and engineering for us. Derek Denko, we'll have you back soon.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.